Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Oh, my God. I have a cute story right off the bat. Cute story about my kid. Carlos Ortiz is here. Marco Belletti on the updates. Evan Harkin is a front row seat to the action as well. But we are happy to have you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I picked my kid up from, it's spring break this week. So I picked him up tonight. So typically the Winkler family has a spring break vacation. But instead of doing one long one this year, we're doing like two little halfies. And so last weekend we went to Chicago. And then this weekend's kind of a staycation. So that's why I'm like here and then also not. I don't know. I was off Monday and I'm off tomorrow. Okay. Just the explanation. Typically, I got the whole week off and I'm having fun in the sun. But this year, we're like, let's go to Chicago and it's 38 degrees. Although in Milwaukee, as Big Voice Guy lets you know, is where I am located. I got a 67 degree day tomorrow. Spring break indeed. But I picked my kid up from, so the 3 days we're not doing little fun family time. He's in a kind of school sponsored daycare. And I picked him up at 5 o'clock. So obviously we didn't get into the car until six because he's got to play with his buddies and I'm a pushover. But I was talking about watching the games tonight. I said I got to watch these March Madness games. I might have to talk about them a little bit on my radio show. Do you know that on my radio show, I talk about sports? He goes, yeah, Daddy, you say good morning, everybody, which is what I've done for a long time. And now being a late night show, I say good evening, everybody. Kind of just using that from Howard Stern and also making fun of people that talk that way for real. And he picked up on that. And it's a reminder that when you have kids, you never know what they're going to pick up on. You never know what is going to affect them. You never know what is going to stick with them. You never know what's going to go in one ear and out the other. And that's kind of a good basis for me now, because I have done this for a while now, this radio job. And I realize there are different levels of listening. There are people that are engaged and in tune to every word I say. Those people, obviously, my favorite. There are people that hear a little bit, you know, and then my voice becomes kind of like a white noise, but then they hear me again. It's weird. You ever drive somewhere and then you think to yourself, I don't remember the last 10 minutes of driving. I couldn't tell you what song was just on. So sometimes I'm that. All right, that's fine. Look, I'm a radio consumer. That's how it works. Sometimes people don't hear me at all correctly, and then they get mad at me for things I didn't say. That's always fun. And then sometimes something you don't think is that consequential has a big, big impact. Big impact. Another example tonight. My kid and his buddy were playing like kickball with another kid, and my kid scored a home run. You know, because it's one kid pitching and then they can't really play defense. And I cheered for my kid, and the kid who was pitching, who I know well, I coach him, they're buddies, just all of a sudden ran off into a field. This happened. Ran off into a field. So me and his dad went to go get him, and we're like, what's wrong? He goes, Bart didn't cheer for me like he cheered for his son. What? It's a, okay. So you never know. So my kid picked up on good morning, everybody, and I ruin a five-year-old's day. And that is where we are. But two March Madness games in the books. Opening day is underway and still's come and gone for many teams. Some teams just starting. The Dodgers, by the way, 3-0, undefeated. And we'll get into some of the opening day stuff coming up in a little bit. We've also got a Bartometer tonight. Robert in Annapolis, I think I'm taking your suggestion. We're going to talk about best situations for the new QBs. From the quarterback's perspective. From the quarterback's perspective. Not from the teams, not who's going to win the most games with their new quarterback. Which quarterback is better off than they were a couple of months ago? So, Robert, you did it. A year of grinding me down. We got one. If that was your suggestion. I think it was at least 80% close. So that coming up in about an hour here on a Thursday into Friday edition of the Bart Winkler Show. The games that we saw up to this point as Duke and Arizona are about to tip off. And then we're going to have Arkansas and Texas Tech tip off in about 15 minutes. But the two games we saw, no upsets and no surprises. Alabama throttling BYU 113-88. Little bit of back and forth early. Alabama eventually created a gap and then created a gap. And they were able to create a pretty big gap because of the 25 three-pointers in NCAA tournament record. So 25 three-pointers, they win by 25 points. Big night for them, including Mark Sears, who was 10 for 16 from distance with 34 points. So a very good night there for him. So Alabama winning against BYU, BYU beating Wisconsin to get to this point. BYU's a 6 seed, so they beat a 3 and then lost to a 2. But BYU, one thing I noticed in that game on Saturday night, they put together like a 10-15 minute stretch of really good basketball. I mean, they were making every 3. They would step back a little bit further and make those 3s. They were doing a great job rebounding offensively and defensively. They were holding Wisconsin to possessions where they weren't scoring repeatedly. And they just played some really complete basketball. And BYU all year has been one of these quicker paced teams. So for Alabama, not only did they have to match that, and they're that kind of team as well, but they had to make sure that BYU didn't get into one of those stretches. And what better way to make sure they don't get into one of those stretches than by knocking down 25 threes. So Alabama will move on after beating BYU, and they will go ahead and take on the winner of this Duke and Arizona game, which has just tipped off. Arkansas and Texas Tech coming up. They're going to take on the winner of Florida and Maryland. The winner of Florida and Maryland is Florida. Florida winning 87-71. Now, Maryland, to get to this point, had to get a last-second shot from Derek Queen against Colorado State, and he provided the offense tonight. He had 27 points for the Terrapins, but it wasn't enough. 87-71 was the final, and Florida moves on. So in a tournament that was expected to be pretty chalky, it has proven to be, at least up to this point, pretty chalky, where the seeds that we have advancing so far into the Elite Eight are a 1 out of a high seed of 1 and a 2 out of a high seed of a 2. The 2 is a chance to play the 1 if Duke can win here tonight. And then the 1 is a chance to play either now a 3 or a 10 is the 2 in that bracket. St. John's lost to Arkansas. But other than that, a very chalky weekend. The games tomorrow, a 1 and a 5 and a 6 and a 2 are battling to play each other. And then a 1 and a 4 and a 3 and a 2 on the other side, Houston, Purdue, Kentucky, and Tennessee battling it out to play each other. So very chalky. And as of tonight, nothing sort of crazy. The craziest part of the whole Sweet 16, or the start of it today, was whatever situation is going on with Kevin Willard. He is the coach at Maryland, which, again, folks, this is a Power Four school. He's been coaching there since 2022. First year there, they were 22-13. Got to the second round. The next year, Maryland misses the tournament, 16-17. And then this season, going 27-8, gets to the Sweet 16. But along the way, there's been some distractions where he's unhappy about what kind of situation that he has with NIL and facilities and all this kind of stuff. And last week he kind of went scorched earth on everything having to do with the Maryland basketball program.
Obviously, it's difficult right now because I think we know his situation. He's probably going to SMU, so it's kind of tough to negotiate with somebody that's maybe not here. But I need to make fundamental changes to the program. That's what I'm focused on right now. That's why probably a deal hasn't got done, because I want to see, I need to see fundamental changes done. First and foremost, I need to make sure that we are where we are with NIL and rev share is not where we've been with NIL in the past 2 years. We've been one of the worst, if not lowest, in the NIL in the last 2 years. I wanted to spend an extra night in New York this year to celebrate Christmas with my team, and I was told that we can't do that because it's too expensive. So I don't know how we can be a top-tier program and I can't spend one extra night in New York because it's too expensive. So there's fundamental things I'm fighting for my team and my program. It's not so much about me.
So the he that he was referring to was the athletic director who did take a job with SMU, and right now Maryland does not have a guy in that position. I don't know. I mean, keeping a whole team in New York for an extra night, by the way, around Christmas time, that is not a cheap endeavor, but that apparently is a big sticking point there. So all week long, there's been speculation, right, about what is the future? Does he want to leave? What's he going to do? Okay. And then Villanova, they fired their coach a couple weeks ago. That's a backdrop to this. Kyle Neptune, after 3 years, they fire him, and they're looking for a coach. Now, some options for them could have been Richard Pitino, who has since now moved on from New Mexico to Xavier. And really, if there's a coach out there that they would still be interested in, it would be Kevin Willard, who seems to have some interest in Villanova. There's been a lot of wondering about what's going to happen. The speculation's gone rampant while this team is on a Sweet 16 run. So it's very interesting because you had another one of these situations in this tournament with Will Wade. Remember Will Wade coaching McNeese State? And then he took the NC State job, but he was very upfront about it. Everybody was aware what was happening. And then they went and beat Clemson as a 12 seed. Now they lost their next game, but I don't think there's too many hard feelings. Thank you, Will Wade, for getting our program this big win. Best of luck in your future endeavors. And that one seemed to be like, okay, you know, wrap it up and move on. This situation is a little bit murky because there's a lot of unknowns. And now Willard, who was totally like, this program sucks, everything sucks. Well, then he started deflecting any answers. He tried to, where he was asked an answer, he was asked a question, that's how it works, question and then answer. He was asked a question about the latest status, and completely, in the last interview he did before they lost tonight, completely deflected the whole situation.
Why have you felt like kind of bringing this discussion in the open has been the best way to advocate for your program?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think our biggest thing is we got to stop Clayton. He's really good. He shoots the basketball going left 48%. He shoots it right going at like 38%. So really the last couple of days, I'm trying to come up with a game plan to stop, you know, Clayton, because I just think he's one of the best guards in the country that we've seen.
So he goes very offensive, and he wants people to know how he feels. And then when he's asked about it, a couple days later, he kind of backtracks on it. You see this a lot, people trying to make stands or even political stands in sports. They'll do something, then they get asked about it and say, I don't want to comment on it, but you did comment on it. You're commenting on it. You commented on it. You brought it up there. You brought out all your concerns. And now you're trying to deflect from that. And I get maybe why he's doing that. He maybe pushed too hard and then the team's like, what's going on? But any of this to happen during this run, it's completely ruined the Sweet 16 run for Maryland. Now, they have lost to Florida, one of the best teams in this tournament. But there's something to be said for Sweet 16 runs. Like, Sweet 16 runs are special. no matter how blue of a blood of a program you are. They're special. And Maryland hasn't been to the Sweet 16 in 9 years. 2016 was the last time. Before that, they weren't there since 2003, the year after they had won the tournament. So this is a proud program. The 90s, turn of the century, has gone through some bumps. Has never really been too terrible. But getting back to a Sweet 16 was a big deal, and the whole thing was kind of ruined. They had like a send-off, coach was booed, fans are mad, and now it looks like it's just a matter of time before we find out that he does take the Villanova job. And that's, you know, whatever you think, that's the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Maryland's in a Big Ten Power Four conference. Villanova's in the rebirth of the Big East. Of course, they've had more recent big success, but the last couple of years, I mean, they fired their coach after 3 years because then they weren't meeting up to standards. Would you rather be at Villanova? Would you rather be at Maryland? He must think that Villanova's going to let him stay an extra night in New York City. But the whole thing completely, like, ruined this run for them. And there's some seniors on the team, or there's some guys that are leaving, and, you know, not everybody's coming back, whatever. Could Maryland have beaten Florida if it wasn't for all this? I mean, Florida's a very good team, but I guess we'll never know, and that's going to be what this is remembered for. And it was weird, too, watching him kind of go through all this, because he wasn't really, like, comfortable in his answers, and it just seemed every time he was up there, he knew he got his hand caught in the cookie jar, and he wasn't even sure if he wanted the cookie, and he wasn't even sure if it was his house that he was getting cookies. It was all weird. And then Maryland loses, so the magnifying glass on the situation is going to be intensified even further. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Arizona with a slight lead over Duke, but again, we are just starting in this one, and Arkansas to take on Texas Tech. Just a few moments, they will tip that one off. We'll have updates throughout the night as the Sweet 16 is underway here in the NCAA tournament. Opening day is today. There's some games going on now. We'll give you some of the highlights. A lot of things happening for the first time ever today. And many complaints. Because if there's one thing baseball knows how to do, it's to take a really good thing and half-ass it. And that's what happened a little bit today. We'll have the details on that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll be back. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, and you can chime in if you'd like. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It did not used to be this way, where the Major League Baseball had their opening day on the same day as the start of the Sweet 16. Typically, if there was some overlap, it would be its opening day and then it's the championship. But with them trying to add more off days in the regular season, they moved the schedule up a little bit, and here we have an opening day on March 27th, which still technically is not really the start of the 2025 season, as there were two games played in Japan last week, the Dodgers and the Cubs. Dodgers won both of them. The quest for 162-0 continues, and what a shame it would be if a very stupid and impossible bit came crashing down already the first night that we really tried to do it. Thankfully, the bit lives, because the Dodgers beat the Tigers 5-4. Blake Snell going five innings, giving up a couple of earned runs, five hits, struck out two. The Dodgers bullpen gave up some runs. Okay, that's the strength of this team. Shohei Ohtani hit a home run in the seventh, of course. So that's, we had two now on the year for him already. Jeez. It's opening day. Shohei's got two home runs, and the Dodgers are 3-0. Good luck to the rest of the NL West for catching up to them. Detroit should be pretty good this year, but that's a tough draw against the Dodgers. So here's something that I was thinking about today. And Carlos, you could be my sounding board off this because it may be a bad idea. Well, first of all, when it comes to Major League Baseball, opening day, I don't know that it was perfect today in terms of it was opening day. And then if you're on the East Coast, there wasn't a game until 3 o'clock. And then there were a bunch of games at the same time. And then there was one game around dinner time in the evening. And now there's two games right now. Could you have staggered it? Like maybe a game starts at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and have some excitement throughout the day. I think that makes more sense. But baseball, this is what I always say about baseball and scheduling. Football will make sure that every date on the calendar is covered. And they have continued to find more real estate where we thought real estate didn't exist. Christmas on a Wednesday, doubleheader. Black Friday, game at 2 in the afternoon. First Friday of the season, slap them in Brazil, put it in prime time. They keep finding ways. Baseball, I don't think they have anybody employed in that department. And I don't know how much more we enjoy baseball on the whole. I don't know, you know, if there's a big, snowball effect of, I don't know what the gain is. I don't know how much things change and how much we enjoy baseball more if some of the changes that I would like to see happen. But first change should be the presentation and layout of today should have been more accessible and more event-like. Because it's like, oh, there's a game on ESPN, Yankees and Brewers, and then there's a game on ESPN later at night, Dodgers and Tigers. But your team is probably either going to play at the same time as Brewers, Yankees, or way in the evening. So maybe the average baseball fan today just watched their game at 4 in the afternoon or 1 Pacific.
Or now, like me.
Yeah, or now. But, you know, in your case, now, and then maybe you saw some of the other, Cubs, because you like the Cubs, maybe you saw some other games throughout the day, but it could have been a bigger deal. I would like to go a step further. So here's what I was thinking of today, because the Dodgers are playing the Tigers, the Brewers are playing the Yankees. There's something weird to me about in Mets and Astros. I had to remember that the Astros are in the American League. But for the opening series of the year, the Milwaukee Brewers should not be in Yankee Stadium. I don't think the Minnesota Twins should be in St. Louis. This is the opening week of the year. But I also backtrack a second. I don't like interleague play. Now, I guess I don't not like it. You get to go to different ballparks if that's your thing. Other teams come to your ballpark. But I think there was a charm that was lost in baseball when it truly was National League and American League. And now it's just National Conference and American Conference is really what it is, because you play everybody and then you alternate. Are we going there this year? Or are you coming here? So here's my idea. I would like to see opening day start last night. I think last night on a Wednesday, if we're going to start it on this Thursday, if that's when we're going to start it on a Wednesday. You can put it at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, maybe 5. Still kind of a day feel, but also as people are getting home. And make it, now this is an issue because baseball, for some other dumb reason, they put their schedule out. The 2026 schedule is going to come out in July. I don't like that. So if you can, make the game last night be between the World Series participants. So you ended with Dodgers-Yankees. We should have got the Dodgers-Yankees series, which will happen at some point this season. We should have got it last night to start. And then everybody else starts today, scattered the times. and you can go along with there. You can have some interleague, you can have not interleague, whatever, but we should start with that. Or at least have one marquee matchup, whether it's, you know, New York versus New York, or even New York, Boston, whatever. Just something that is going to get the average fan interested in, oh, hey, the baseball season starts. Because when I was at pickup today, saw a couple dads, said, did you watch the game? They said, what game? That's right. Brewers, not everybody knew that baseball had started today. So that's a problem. The other thing that I would do is I don't like when the season starts with interleague play, but it bothers me more when the season ends with interleague play. And again, I would like to go back to when we didn't have interleague play. It made the leagues feel more like leagues. It made it feel more like a pennant race. It made the All-Star game better. It made the World Series better. So I would like to see if they could jam all the interleague series prior to the All-Star break. And then just a National League playing National League the rest of the season. Same with American League. If you want to tweak it, like over the holidays, like Labor Day, you know, when the Yankees play the Mets and the Cubs play the White Sox and those kind of things, you could maybe have one bonus interleague series across Labor Day. People can travel. You know, typically it's teams playing close. So that might be kind of fun. But I would like to see that. I would also like to see everybody play on Memorial Day and Labor Day and the 4th of July. There was a game, I think it was last year, where the Cardinals and whoever they were playing were scheduled on the 3rd and 5th and basically had to petition baseball to let them play one of those games on the 4th. Because, again, baseball just pukes out a schedule, and then they're just like, we're good. But today, like, today was fine. It's opening day. But now there's basketball on, and there's a couple of games on at night, but like, it doesn't matter. So if you have a game last night and then you have opening day, be opening day staggered 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, I just think there's better ways. It doesn't have to be, this is where baseball has gone wrong in my opinion. Of course, I don't like when people say my opinion because of course it's my opinion. I'm the one saying it. Radio Crutch, number 117. But IMO, baseball doesn't need to truncate the time of its games. It doesn't need to, like, do more things that are Snapchat. You know, sound like drunk uncle. Just put your games on where we can see them. That's it. That's all they've ever needed to do. And that's the thing they're the worst at. Oh, we got an app. You can watch any game at any time. Oh, yeah? Did that work today? Of course it didn't. Of course it didn't. One big plus about today was that Joe Buck was on the national broadcast. I enjoy that. I think Joe Buck has been, I like Joe Buck on baseball. Sue me. I like Joe Buck on baseball. And he did Brewers-Yankees. And I'm a Brewers fan. And Marco Belletti is here, and he's a Yankees fan. You beat my Brewers, Marco.
Hello, Bart.
Grr, I'm mad at you today now.
Were you upset that Devin Williams struggled but then still shut you guys down? Is that what's sticking in your craw?
So here's the experience I had. First of all, that short porch and right is a crime to humanity.
Everybody with this. This ballpark's been here for 15, 16 years.
Okay, but that's how they got their first two home runs. Okay. Okay. But hey, look, the Brewers, we play there once every 2-3 years. All right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Devin Williams, I knew he was about to come in, and it was 4-1. And then I had to go pick up my kid. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep my phone in my pocket and not check the score. I'm going to pause the game because I think the Brewers might come back. And either way, this is going to be a disaster. So I paused it. I got to the playground of the school to pick him up. I didn't see anything. I did check my phone for something else. And then I was like, oh, I couldn't resist. And then I saw it was 4-1, bases loaded. I go, I knew it. yeah, I know it. I can't wait to get home and watch this. And then I saw another dad who was decked out in Brewer gear, and he goes, we almost had a full Devin Williams experience today. I was like, ah, you ruined it. You ruined it for me. But big spot for Devin. Like, this is what he'll do, but you got the win. So in the big games, I think Devin Williams is going to give you a little bit of heartburn, but you will win most of those games unless it's the playoffs. Or maybe like a Sunday night, like Sunday night baseball against the Red Sox, if he does, you're going to lose that game. And that's just the Devin Williams experience. So welcome to it. It's not terrible, but it could be better.
Yeah, I'll be fair. That's the least of my concerns right now for the Yankees. So I'm not overly, you know, upset about that. I get it. He's going to be a little bit of a Houdini. That's fine. I can live with the agita that's going to come with it. That's the least of the Yankee problems is when Devin Williams is going to be on the mound. The least of their problems.
Do you feel any better, any worse? Because opening day is a weird day. You can go in thinking 90 wins, and now my Brewers lost, so I think 75.
Yeah, I mean, look, does it feel better? Because I don't have a lot of optimism for the Yankee season. So feels good that they got a win, but they got it exactly the way that I expect them to try to win every game for over 162, which is not sustainable. They don't hit. And that's going to be the problem all year long. They don't hit. So if they're going to pitch well and they're going to only give up two runs, they'll win most of those games. Games that they give up more than 2-3 runs, they lose. That's going to be a problem.
Some fun stats about today. Austin Wells was the first ever, do I have this right? He was the first ever catcher to lead off for the Yankees on an opening day, an opening day history for the Yankees.
He's also the first catcher, I saw this, the first catcher to ever have a leadoff homer on opening day, period.
Any team.
Any team, Major League Baseball history, which is wild to me. I guess a lot of catchers let off. Opening day, who the hell wants your catcher to lead off back in the day? They wanted speed, but that's a hell of a nugget.
Another nugget here is Baltimore Orioles outfielder Tyler O'Neill hit a 3-run home run against the Blue Jays. This is the 6th straight opening day where he has hit a home run. Tyler O'Neill.
One of the more bizarre stats, and especially because he's done it now for a couple of different teams. It's just bizarre that he would homer every opening day.
All right, since we're on the topic of stats, and I'm not sure where else in the show I'm going to get this in, there was a stat that I wanted to give you. I am going to give you right now this was on the broadcast last night, the total points leaders in the NBA this season. Did you see this at all? This is insane.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so the leader in points this year is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And he is up to 2,264 points. Okay.
All right.
In second place is Anthony Edwards with 1,912 points.
Sizable lead.
In third place is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if you only count what he scores in the first three quarters, with 1,909 points. He is 3 points behind second place if you only count the first three quarters.
That not only says the year that he's having, but the year that the team is having, that he can sit and relax in the fourth quarter as much as he does.
So let me just give you the top five. The top five. Number five, Tatum, 1791. Jokic, 1806. SGA through three quarters, 1909. Anthony Edwards, 1912, SGA through four quarters, 2252.
You think that's a good stat to make a case for MVP or no? You think they're not going to look at that one?
I think that is a good stat. Also, the problem is Jokic had a really good game last night, and he had a single pass alone, which might have won him MVP. A little behind the back, like no look. It was unbelievable.
It is, but doesn't it also get inflated in the fact that he looks like he's moving in slow motion because he's a big, giant, fat man? And I love his play. I'm just saying, doesn't it kind of get a little extra?
Yeah. Also, the Nuggets have had a history of, like, making sure he's never out there with the scrubs is the thing. So, like, his plus minus is always great because he's never out there with the losers.
That's fair. I just wonder if sometimes if a more athletic player makes a play like that, it doesn't look as good because it's we're used to it. When a big, slow guy makes a play like that, we're kind of like, wow, that's a hell of a play. Because look at him. He barely moves.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good way to put that. I agree with you. There's a science to that. I'm not sure what it's called. or if it even exists, but I do understand what you are saying, and it is very good. All right, well, congrats on the win. When do we play again? Saturday?
Next week. No, that's the one thing about, look, I get you need the day off for weather concerns. It is the stupidest thing on earth that you open up the season. We're finally here. It's opening day. Where's the bunting? You play tomorrow? Nah.
We're just going to chill.
Don't worry about it. We play this game every day for 162. Not tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow you get the day off.
Yeah, is everybody excited now?
Come July, 27 straight days. You don't get a day off for an entire month. But the day after the first day, take the day. Take the day.
Well, I remember they haven't played in months. They need that day.
Honestly, it's like working 70 hours of overtime and then getting pizza. Bro, that's not what I need right now. That's not now.
Company. A lot of your friends have been laid off, but because of your hard work, we brought 7 cheese pizzas from the...
Can't even spray for a topping?
Sorry, as you know, guys, quarter four was a little tight. No holiday bonus this year, but something we think you'll like even better. We've got 2 liters of Diet Coke and pizza rolls for you in the break room. Oh, great. All right. Why am I bringing that up? Anyway, SGA, that's pretty crazy. All right, let's get an update, and then we'll have our bulletin blitz, and then a Bartometer on an action-packed Thursday. Here's again Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
The Geese, right wing for the win! Yes!
The biggest voices in sports.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
The heartbreak.
And he misses it. That's impossible.
The celebrations.
Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for
the audio of the game. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Dan Shrug with the Bulletin Blitz on a Thursday. It is March 27, 2025. More importantly, it is Major League Baseball's opening day 2025. Baseball, woo! Yeah! Show me your baseballs! All right, Bart, we'll start here. Let's go to MLB reporter John Perotto. This is courtesy of 93.7 The Fan, our friends in Cleveland, in Pittsburgh, rather. He says the Pirates do not care about winning.
They get a guy like Paul Skenes, and, they don't even want to try to build around him. I mean, they don't want to win. It's pretty obvious. Bob Nutting and the ownership group, they don't care. If people care, they're making money, and I don't care what the reports out there say. They are making money, and they don't need to do anything to improve their team to make money because of the revenue sharing system.
Median payroll in baseball is $181.8 million. The top 5 teams are all over $260 million, including the Dodgers, just under $400 million, with, again, all the deferred stuff as well. Pirates are in the bottom 5. Marlins are the lowest at 82.6, and the Pirates at 110. So that's $70 million under the median. And if you can make money, like, do you want to make more money? Do you want to win? Because I think with winning comes more money, but it's also some work. And if you don't have to work that hard, people are still going to show up. Like, you got Paul Skenes, you can market that. A lot of people are saying, well, the Pirates are going to waste Paul Skenes. Yeah, you know, of course they are. That is what they do, and that's a shame. It's a great baseball town. It's maybe one of the nicest stadiums in the league. A lot of great history, and they're just content to be bad, which is, that sucks. It sucks. Baseball would be better if the Pirates were good.
Yeah, baseball would be good if a lot of these franchises actually tried. I know it's opening day, but we still got to get some football nuggets in here every so often. Someone in the car screaming, where's the NFL? Here's Colts general manager Chris Ballard. One of his genius moves was bringing in Daniel Jones to try to, get Anthony Richardson motivated. And he says the quarterback competition between the two should be spirited.
Between Daniel and Anthony, you're going to see a really good competition. It's going to be spirited competition, but I also think it's one that's going to be where they help each other to grow, too. And so we thought Daniel's skill set and Anthony's skill set, there's a lot of similarities there. So offensively, I think that's going to help, our offensive staff say, okay, we don't have to make these wholesale changes with one guy or the other. We got to make the best decision for the team. Whatever the outcome is based on performance.
One way or another, this will be the worst quarterback competition of all time because either Anthony Richardson just blows Daniel Jones out of the water and it's no competition, or Anthony Richardson is so bad that he's only as good as Daniel Jones. So strap in, Indianapolis. You've got some fireworks coming your way.
Daniel Jones is no longer my problem. And that funky music you heard, it was courtesy of Colts YouTube. All right, last one here. Deion Sanders, he spoke on Skip Bayless' show. Normally I would never play it, but it's a pretty interesting clip, so we're going to. He says his son Shador is open to go anywhere to any team that wants him.
Shador has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
Call me a sucker, but I believe Deion there. Am I wrong, too? I believe Deion. I think Shador just wants to play football, wherever that may be, and we'll find out in a couple of weeks. Which quarterback has put themselves in the best situation? Bartometer, next.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.